Trump is the symptom of a greater moral malady. He is the result of the Southern strategy. This that began in 1968 when the Poor People's Campaign was assassinated. He is the result of people still being able to use fear and pit white poor people and black poor people against one another who ought to be allies. And that's always been a deliberate. But we've got to speak to that. And if we're going to have civil disobedience, let it be around not just individuals. You know, for instance, if we're going to talk about race, I'm so tired. When people say, we're talking about racism, let's talk about Roseanne Barr's word. Forget Roseanne Barr's word. Racism is when you deny voting rights and won't restore the Voting Rights Act. That's racism. You know, racism is when you try to put racist judge on the federal bench like they're trying to put Tom Farr. Let's talk about this, that every state that has passed racist voter suppression law since 2010, before Trump was thought about, 23 states have done that. Every state that has passed voter suppression law targeted at black and brown people have, once people got elected using racist voter suppression, once white extremists who call themselves Republicans got elected using racialized voter suppression, once they got in office, they passed laws that hurt mostly white people. Huh. So that's a common, every state that suppressed the vote denied Medicaid expansion. Yeah. The majority of the people that benefit from Medicaid expansion are white. Every state that suppressed the vote passes policies that hurt the poor. There are 140 million poor and low-wealth people in this country. 73% of them are women and children. The majority of them are white. That's 43.5% of our country is poor and low-wealth. Every state that passed voter suppression laws also denied living wages. The majority of the people working below living wages are white. The majority, as a matter of their race, a black percentage of their race, but in raw numbers, right? In raw numbers. So there's a direct line from racism to economic injustice. And I ask people, how could you trust Trump, who is a racist, and think he was going to do right by workers? If you scratch a liar, you find a thief. If you scratch a racist, you find somebody that's against working people, that's against economic progress, that is against America. And so we've got to find a way to bring black poor people and white poor people and brown poor people and red poor people and yellow poor people and low-income people together, because guess what? If you don't make a living wage, we have 400 families in this country that make an average of $97,000 an hour, and $97,000 an hour, 400, while we lock people up for more than 15 on the union. But the bottom line is, if you make less than a living wage, and if somebody who's a politician that got elected through voter suppression blocks raising a living wage, and you can't pay your light bill, we all black in the dark. So we better learn how to come together. You see what I'm saying? We can't always have movements that's just about a reaction or a silo, right? So these five interlocking issues, systemic racism, but specifically about policy, not about words and personal attack, systemic poverty, ecological devastation, the war economy, and the false moral narrative of so-called Christian nationalism that says God's position, moral position, is hate gay people, hate abortion, be for prayer in the school, be for gun rights, be for tax cuts, and be for states' rights. That's not God's position. That's a crazy position. It ain't got nothing to do with God. So, because the God is God of love. But those are five interlocking injustices. Then what you have to do is risk going around. We've been traveling, going, doing training, and having mass meetings. So you go to Harlan County. You don't run away from Harlan County, where the Hatfields and the McCoys are and the coal miners. You go there, and you help people in Harlan County understand how they're connected to Callie Greer in Alabama, whose daughter died because Alabama refused to expand Medicaid. But the majority of the people in Alabama that are being hurt by the denial of Medicaid are white. All right, right? But you begin to teach people how they connect. You go to Grays Harbor, Washington, or Aberdeen, where I just came from, where you have more white millennials living homeless than any other zip code in the country. But you then connect the folk in Grays Harbor with the people in Flint, Michigan, and the people in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we have great high levels of poverty, even in the banking. And what you begin, banking capital. So what you begin to do is show people their common humanity. At our rally, our launch yesterday, people put faces on the facts. Sometimes progressives are great at the facts, but we're not good at the faces. So we had black and white and brown and red and yellow and gay and straight and young and old and Christian and Muslim and Jews and even agnostics and atheists. But they were linked together by this common moral theme, and that is everybody has a right to live. That is, somebody's hurting our brothers and our sisters and it's gone on far too long. One other way you do it is you don't get caught up, lastly, in just the issue of the moment. Let me expand up just real quick. Right now we're talking about snatching children, right, and separating children. And we ought to be. It's ugly. It's vile. It's against what the scriptures say, like in Isaiah 10, where it says, woe unto those who legislate evil and rob the poor of their rights and make women and children their prey, P-R-E-Y. But we got to, first of all, this is the snatching of brown children. It is connected to white nationalism. And white nationalism doesn't even like white people, because white nationalism is against democracy. Richard Spencer said the fight to halt immigration was the proxy war. And he's a white nationalist. And that he wanted to be with Trump because Trump gave the signal that he would be against immigration. But if we can expand this, it's not just about what's happening on the border. America first literally means be first in snatching health care from families and children. Be first in snatching living wages from women and children. In fact, America first means be first in undoing the 14th Amendment, which is in the middle of the amendments of the Constitution. And if you undo the 14th Amendment, equal protection under the law for every person, that hurts all people, regardless of color. So when we can expand these issues, then we can find our commonality and we can find our humanity. And we can say that we are refusing to allow not just the destruction of the Republican Party or the destruction of the Democratic Party, but the destruction of the soul and the heart of America itself. And we're not going to give up on America. We're not going to give up on America.
Reverend Barber, thank you so much for joining us.